This gospel of the second Sunday of Easter, aside from being one of my favorite gospels, is so beautifully appropriate today as you celebrate this gift of confirmation, this sacrament, this sign, powerful sign of the presence of God's Spirit being sealed deep, deep within your soul. This gospel has been retold now for over 2,000 years. Of the events that unfolded, that took place in Jerusalem. That's this gospel, this story, this resurrection narrative has been handed on to billions of people, really, over 20 centuries, and now it comes to you. It comes to me. It describes an encounter with the risen Christ and his apostles in that upper room where the doors were locked. Now I wonder and reflect upon, and I invite you to do the same, what was in the hearts of those apostles at that moment? John the Evangelist, who was there, gives us a clue. He tells us that they were behind locked doors. So why do we lock our doors? Usually out of fear. Out of fear to the outside world. And he tells us that they were afraid. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, they were afraid of those that had put Jesus to death. They were afraid of that. Because they knew what would actually come to pass, that which happened to Jesus would happen to them. And on that, they were actually right. Because all of them died a martyr's death. I would assume that they were also fearful and maybe ashamed, sad about themselves, that at the very end, after having spent 3 years, close to 3 years, accompanying Jesus and watching him preach and teach and heal and do these miraculous deeds, that at the end, they didn't feel strong enough to remain with him at his moment of need, to remain with him at the cross. One of them betrayed him. One of them denied him, even when he was told that he was going to do so. And the rest of them, frankly, ran for the hills. And they disappeared from the scene. And so when Jesus begins to appear, and they begin to hear that he's risen from the dead and that he's appeared here and there and in different places, and now he appears in their midst. I would assume, if I was there, says, I wonder what he's going to say. What is he going to say? El Evangelio de hoy es íntimamente apropiado para este día en que celebramos este encuentro con Jesús resucitado y en particular el sacramento de la confirmación, a donde Jesús se encuentra con sus discípulos en el cenáculo días después de la resurrección. Y pienso cómo se sentirían los apóstoles, ¿no? ¿Qué estarían pensando, sintiendo ellos? El evangelista Juan, que estuvo allí presente en ese momento, nos da un... Nos describe un poquito lo que estaba en el corazón de ellos. Temor. Temor a aquellos que habían ejecutado a Jesús y lo habían puesto a la muerte en la cruz. A lo mejor temor de la reacción de Jesús, porque en el último instancia, ellos, en el momento de la necesidad de Jesús, ellos se desaparecieron también. Uno lo entregó, lo traicionó, otro lo negó y los otros corrieron para las montañas y se desaparecieron. Y supongo que estarían estos discípulos en espera a ver, bueno, ahora que Jesús se ha hecho presente en medio de nosotros, que ha traspasado puertas cerradas, ¿qué nos diría? So what is it that Jesus actually said? I think it would have been, I think obviously it was different than what we might have said. We might have said to those apostles, if we were in the place of Jesus, so where were you? Where did you go? Where did you run? After 3 years of me walking with you and teaching you and forming your heart, you disappear from the scene. What happened? What happened? That might be like, I can't speak for yourself, for you, but I could speak for me. I would probably say that. What happened? Really? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus knew of their brokenness. He knew of their fear, and he knew of the feelings in their heart. And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth was not, really? Where did you go? It wasn't that. Actually was peace. Peace. Peace to those hearts that were broken. Peace to those hearts that were fearful. Fear, peace to those hearts that felt ashamed. That word peace, we translate from a word, a Hebrew word, shalom. And that word shalom actually has a specific meaning. For us, peace means the opposite of conflict. But that's not what actually shalom means, though it could mean that. Peace actually means is a prayer. May you be made whole in the eyes of God. Isn't that beautiful? May you be made whole in the eyes of God. So these apostles who were felt ashamed, broken, fearful, locked behind closed doors, what Jesus says to them, because he reads their heart, is he says to them, may you be made whole in the eyes of God. A estos discípulos que se sentían avergonzados, temerosos, lo que Jesús les dice en ese momento es paz. Paz. Que no solo es la ausencia de conflicto, sino es, más que nada, una oración. De que sean ellos hechos completos, ¿no? Sanados. Sanados en los ojos de Dios. And then he says to them that he gives them his spirit. And before he says that, he does something. He says he breathed. He breathed into him. Antes de darle el don del Espíritu Santo, dice que respiró, exhaló. And that's very significant, actually, because the word for spirit in the Old Testament actually means breath. Ruha. It actually means breath. So if you want to understand how what Jesus is talking about as he gives them the gift of the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to do it right now. Put your hand in front of your mouth. Go ahead. I know you have your mask, but you're going to feel it. And breathe out. Did you feel that? Breath. That breath, the Old Testament called Ruha, called it spirit. It is the breath that God breathes into Adam and brings him life. Remember that story? And God breathed into Adam. That breath, as we experience, right? Because we breathe, I don't know, how 20, you're a doctor, how many times do we breathe in a minute? What? 12 breaths a minute? Give or take, right? Some of us breathe more because we're bigger, right? That breath enters our body and goes to every single nook and cranny of our body. And it has a life of its own. We don't even know what it does in there. It does it all on its own. And without breath, we cease to be. We cease to be. We take it completely for granted, though. We breathe and we don't even have to tell ourselves to breathe. We don't have to say, okay, Nelson, breathe. You just breathe. And no one called Father Gil this morning to see if there would be enough oxygen in this cathedral for the people that are here. At least I don't think anyone did. You assumed that it would be there. And that is the presence of God, the presence of His Spirit. La palabra en el Antiguo Testamento para espíritu es aliento, respiración. Como Jesús entiende esta palabra espíritu que Él exhala sobre los apóstoles. And so beautifully today, what an incredible day then to celebrate the sign, the sacrament of that Spirit in the lives of these 30 confirmation candidates. That Spirit was given to you the day of your baptism. When your parents brought you to church filled with gratitude because you had showed up on the scene. That Spirit was given, poured into your heart, and today through this powerful, transformative sacrament, that Spirit is confirmed. Come from a Latin word that means to strengthen, to seal. And in doing so, you complete these beautiful sacraments of being totally incorporated to the life of Christ, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. What a day of blessing and grace it is for you. And so on behalf of Father Gill and your catechist and your parents and your sponsors, I congratulate you on this day, which is really a singular day. It won't repeat itself. You can only receive the sacrament once. How blessed you are. The day of your baptism, promises were made in your name because maybe you were too young to make them on your own. And the church accepted the words of your parents and godparents in your name. But today, the church, moments now before you are confirmed, is going to ask that you renew your baptismal promises before that same Spirit that Jesus poured into the hearts of His disciples is poured and sealed once again and definitively in your lives today. So I'm going to ask our confirmation candidates to please stand.